under the guise of democracy, politics of the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burn bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fall for little boys. And the weapons manufactured paid for by taxes, while the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons build the capacity citizens. And the times when the master thief can find and conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out to reach all potential. Fame at the table, then you're probably on the menu.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO, Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once Upon a Time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month, from 11 to noon, here at KBOO 90.7 FM.
KBOO has a mobile app. You can listen to all your favorite shows, subscribe to KBOO podcasts, even set KBOO as your alarm clock. Just look for KBOO on the iTunes and Google Play Store. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review.
Hey yo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
Like you've seen the last of me, but I will not be leaving. Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM in Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is in engineering for me. I want to say hello to Gary, my Army buddy Gary, and Darla in Nebraska. She just had a knee operation, but she's doing good now. And Kathy in Aloha, who I hope's drinking a lot more water. And to Mitty and her wonderful grandchildren. And words whispered to a child under siege. No, we are not going to die. The sound you hear knocking on the windows and chipping the paint from the ceiling, that is a game the world is playing. Our task is to crouch in the dark and long as we can and count the beats of our own hearts. Good. Like that. Lay your hand on my heart and I'll lay mine on yours. Which one of us wins? Is this the one who plays the game while it lasts? Yes, it's going to last. I'm sorry, I got a change. Why is it beating faster for you? That's all. I always wanted you to be born. And so did the world. No, those aren't the strangers' footsteps in the house. Yes, I'm here. We're safe. Remember chess? Remember hide and seek? The song your mother sang? Let's sing that one. She's still with us, yes, but you have to sing without making a sound. She's like that. No, those aren't footsteps. Sing, sing louder. Those aren't footsteps. Let me show you how I cried when you were born. Those aren't footsteps. Those aren't sirens. Those aren't flames. Close your eyes. Like chess? Like hide and seek? When the game is done, you get another life. That's a poem, Words Whispered to a Child Under Siege. And it's by Jane Fasano. And that's very what's going on now to the people in Gaza and in Lebanon, where the children are being killed every day with the bombs that we supply, our government supplies. I will never, ever forgive them for what they're doing in Gaza. And I've never, ever forgiven them for what they did in Vietnam, in Panama, in Grenada, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. The slaughter of so many innocent people. It's just a shame. It's just a shame. They don't listen to what we're saying. I was listening to Amy Goodman on Democracy Now, and they were talking to this person in Gaza, and he was talking about the Al-Aqsa Hospital and how the Zionist government of Israel bombed and started a fire in the tents of innocent people who were near that hospital, because they had nowhere to go, because their houses had been bombed to the ground. 42,000 people have died, 90% civilians. There's going to be more when they start digging up those bombed out buildings. It's probably going to be over 100,000 dead. But I was thinking, and I know Vietnam veterans will see in their mind the bombings of napalm in Vietnam that burned people to death, that sucked the air out of the surrounding area to keep that fire from those bombs going. Burning up of children and elderly, of the men and women who were unable to get out of those fire-burning flames. And I couldn't look at the pictures of the bombing of those people. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't force myself to watch those poor people dying, being burned to death. I've always wondered, you know, what kind of people could come up with such a horrid, horrid mixture of death like that, you know? Kind of person could do that, knowing what it would do to the human body? And also, I was listening to, I think, National Public Radio, or it could have been Al Jazeera English. If you want to know what's going on in the world, listen to Al Jazeera English, you know. They do really international stuff, and it's pretty good. It's BBC does too, but not as much as Al Jazeera does. Al Jazeera English does. And the USA, this government, now forcing the Zionist government of Israel to feed the people, let those trucks in to feed the people of Gaza. It's been a year since that war, genocidal war, has started. But now the U.S. is saying, oh, you got to bring those supplies in there, and we'll give you 30 days. Why 30 days? Everything that goes into Gaza is controlled by Israel. You guys know that, but we have to keep remembering that. We have to keep thinking about what's happening to the people of Gaza and now the people of Lebanon. The starvation diet of the Israelites forced upon the people of Gaza. I heard, I can't remember who, it may have been Norma Finkelstein, who was talking about what Israel does. He is a Jew whose mother and father were in concentration camps by the Nazis in World War II, whose mother and father lost all of their family in the Holocaust. His mother and father were very caring and understanding people, he said. And he does not support what Israel is doing to the people of Gaza. He says one of the programs that Israel does every few years is called mowing the lawn. And that's when they send troops into Gaza and kills people. Just to let them know who's the boss. Who controls the water they drink? Who controls the electricity they use? Who controls the food that comes in? Who controls the medicine that they get? Norman Finkelstein is a wonderful guy. I listen to him on the internet a lot. Words found in the rubble after the final war. Yes, we lived in a time of darkness and did nothing. Yes, we looked up and we saw the sky on fire, and we knew that we had made the flames with our own hands. Yes, we wasted every breath on rage. Children, if any of you have survived this, start again. With the simplest things, we beg you, walk out through the gardens of the darkness and touch each other's faces in the morning air. Slowly, slowly, say each other's names. I don't know who wrote that, but words found in the rubble after the final war. I wonder if the mothers and fathers, grandmas and grandpas in Gaza is going to be saying that to the children who survive. To get out and start rebuilding again. And don't give up. Don't give up. Oh, it's just so terrible. I was watching I don't watch the news very much because I hate it. I've learned years ago that, you know, mainstream media, mainstream newspapers, you know, they all lie. They all follow the party line. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democrat in control, because there's nothing different about them. They like to think there is, but it's the same old thing. Why the U.S. is sending troops, prized air defense systems to Israel. And I was listening to, I can't remember what person it was, but it was somebody it may have been BBC talking to an American, you know, government talking head person with perfect hair, you know, nice clothes, in a clean studio. And I heard words that I've heard so many times before. Why we have to go in and send weapons to different countries, that because we have to protect American lives in those countries. We have to protect American interests in those countries. We have to protect Americans. That's what they said. They didn't say anything about protecting the children, the elderly, the sick, the maimed in those countries. It's to protect Americans and American interests in those countries. Israel is getting the best missile defense system that we have. And that's a very expensive. Plus they're sending, I think that they were going to send 300 troops with those very expensive defensive missile systems. If people think that those are the first American troops that are in Israel and now in Lebanon, they don't know how this government and how this military works. This government is giving Israel intelligence on things that are going on in Gaza. They are giving them so much intelligence about what's going on in Gaza. They seem to have forgot what happened to the USS Liberty when Israelis attacked an American ship and killed sailors on that ship. We interviewed one of the officers on that ship that talked about the day that the attack on the Liberty happened. I think it was 1968 or 67, Six Day War, I think it was. And he was saying he was wounded when the first attack, and he couldn't do anything. But he said they kept strafing that boat, that ship, killing people and killing people and killing people. It was an intelligence gathering ship. And what happened to Israel? He said that they had a huge American flag on that ship up on the mast. Their first one got shot down. So they took a bigger, larger flag and ran it up a mast. But they kept attacking the ship. Intercepted voice from one of the pilots, Israeli pilots, saying, I think in Hebrew, that it looks like an American ship. And they got orders to continue to attack the ship. When they finished, the ship was in dire need. It had holes in it. What happened to Israel? Nothing. Johnson didn't do anything about it. He was a president. Johnson, one of the murderers that kept the war in Vietnam going. But Johnson didn't do anything about it. You know. And Israel's our friend. Israel's our friend. I don't think so. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen if one of those 300 soldiers, I don't know if they're Air Force or what, but what's going to happen if one of those guys or women get killed? What's going to happen? What's the U.S. going to do then? They've already gave, I think, $22 billion to Israel to fight this war, so-called war, this genocide against the people of Gaza, and now starting on the people of Lebanon. Now, FEMA needs money to help the people that were hurt by the hurricanes, and they don't have enough money. Small Business Association, small business something, doesn't have enough money, but we give $22 billion to Israel to fight a war of slaughter against the people of Israel. The U.S. announced this week a major new air defense system for Israel, along with the deploy. It says 100 American troops, but I read where there's also sent in more troops to operate it in the country, in a development that will bolster Israeli security but potentially put American forces at risk. I don't know where this comes from, but The Hill. President Biden said the deployment of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, THAAD, batteries was meant to defend Israel following Iran's barrage of 180 ballistic missiles aimed at the country on October 1st. The U.S. ally is now weighing a retaliatory strike. You know, they're not. Israel's got a really hard clampdown on anything, information coming out of Israel about what's going on in how many Israelis are being killed by these attacks, and we don't know. But Biden, boy, I have a hard time. Biden said that 11 Americans have been killed. What? I thought that if Americans joined a foreign country's military, that they could lose their American citizenship. But I guess that doesn't count for Israel. Maybe that doesn't count. You know, I'm not a racist. I'm not a misogynist, and I'm not anti-Semitic. What I am is, I care for people being slaughtered a lot. I care a lot about that. The children are always ours, every single one of them, all over the globe. And I am beginning to suspect that whoever is incapable of recognizing this may be incapable of morality. And that was written by my favorite author, and that was James Baldwin. My favorite author. He is such a great author. And if you read some of the things he writes about, it just makes you think. Think about things. Think about what's going on, about how our brothers and sisters of African descent are treated in this country, of why he moved to France. If you get a chance, just read anything by James Baldwin. It's really great. When I was in high school, people didn't understand why I was reading James Baldwin, you know. And, I tried to explain it to them. Some of them understood. And they started reading some of James Baldwin's wonderful books and essays and poems. And he wrote poems, you know. He had a very interesting life. There were a lot of Americans of African descent who left this country and went to France. There's a list of those folks. It's very interesting that they would do that. I just dropped my phone on the ground, and it came up the side. I have this sticker on the back that says "Free Gaza," and when it fell, it ended up facing up "Free Gaza." Free Gaza. I'll never forget "Free Gaza." Ty, you want to get ready to play that second song for me? We're gonna play another song, And if you're ready, Ty, go ahead, buddy. It's coming right up. It's going to be coming up.
I see a wasting water, I see a rising sludge, using the kind of language that makes the sergeant blush. Oh, wouldn't join the army, that's what we all inquire. Don't be pity the poor civilians sitting around the fire. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
Oh, it's a lovely war.
Oh, wouldn't be a soldier, eh?
Oh, it's a shame to take the pain.
As soon as Reveille has gone,
we feel just as heavy as lead.
But we never get up to the sergeant brings a break. Up to bed. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
A lovely war.
Oh, what do we want? We eggs and ham. Oh, when we got plum and apple jam. Oh, for the right son, how do we spend the money we earn? Oh, 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 it's a lovely war. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
What a lovely war.
Oh, be a soldier, eh?
Oh, it's a shame to take the pay.
As soon as the valley is gone,
we feel just as heavy as lead.
But we never get up to the sergeant brings our breakfast up to bed.
What?
Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
What a lovely war.
What do we want with eggs and ham when we got plum and apple jam? Come for us, great car. We spend the money we earn. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war. Come to the cookhouse door, boys, sniff at the lovely stew. Oh, is it says the colonel gets better grub than you. Any complaints this morning? Do we complain, not we? What's the matter with lumps of onion floating around your tea? Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
Oh, it's a lovely
oh,
war.
Oh, what'll be a soldier, eh?
Oh, it's a shame to take the pay.
As soon as the valley has gone, we feel just as heavy as lead. But we never get up to the sergeant. Brings our breakfast up to bed. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
Oh,
who wouldn't want an eggs and ham when we got plum and apple jam? Oh, for ration, how do we spend the money we earn? Oh, 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 it's a lovely war. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
That was, oh, what a lovely war. It's kind of a slap at World War I. And I just bent double like an old beggar under sacks. Knock-kneed, coughing like hags. We cursed through it all. Till on the haunting flare we turned our backs. And toward our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on blood sod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the boots, to the hoots of tired, outstripped 5-9ers that dropped behind. Gas, gas, quick, boys. An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time. But someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime. Dim through the misty panes and thick green lights, as under a green sea, I saw him drowning. In all my dreams before my helpless sight, He plunged at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you too would pace, behind the wagon we flung him in and watched the white eyes withering in his face. His hanging face, like a devil sick of sin. If you could hear At every jolt, the blood comes gargling from the froth corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as cud. O vile, incurable souls on innocent tongues. My friend, you will not tell which such high zest to children ardent for some desperate gory. The old lie, dulce et decorum et pro patria mori. That was a poem written by Winfred Owens, a World War I veteran. He wrote many poems about his experience in the useless war of World War I. The millions of people who died in that senseless war. A war that scarred all people who participated in that war, where they were wounded, crippled, maimed, blinded. Their minds were scarred for the rest of their lives. I had a book that I had purchased about pictures of World War I. And some of those pictures were the most horrible things that I can imagine that those men went through. The horribleness of that war, trench warfare, the use of machine guns and tanks for the first time in a war, poisonous gas that was used for the first time in a war. To see those trenches and to see the bodies that were so mutilated, there was no way to tell who it was. The horse-drawn carts with just piles of human bodies on them. Just the mud during the winter time. Just the senselessness of the war. You know, that was the war to end all wars. It seems to not have worked. It seems to keep growing. I lent that book to somebody, but I can't remember who it was, and you know, I never got it back. And it was the only one that I ever found of the pictures of World War One. There were a lot of books and poems, and Eaglet even did a lot of movies on World War One. In fact, Oh, What a Lovely War was used in a picture that England did called Oh, What a Lovely War, you know, talking about the senselessness of World War One. And the glory, you know, that's like, I don't know who it was that there's getting a medal of some kind. The guy in a hospital was getting a medal of some kind, I don't know, maybe a Purple Heart. And he's told whoever was doing it, he says, you know, I'm sick of this war. You know, this is useless. And I'm talking to a general or somebody. You know, yeah, this is sickening. This war is useless. Instead of being, yeah, I'm a fighting man. I'm going out there and I'm just going to kill. But it did turn out that way. The guy said, oh, I'm really sick of this war. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. Let's see what I've got written down here. Oh, yeah. Ty just told me he writes articles for the Mountain Time. That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that. The Mountain Times. Right Times?
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. Huh. Okay, let's get back to sending these troops. These air defense thing. You know, I was thinking, what's going to happen? You know, that I saw this picture of the Middle East. It was a picture, it was a drawing, I'm sorry. It was a drawing. And it was of what territory, what part of other countries does Israel want to have to make a greater Israel? And it's a lot. They want to take a lot. You know, Jordan, we want some of that. They want Lebanon. Of course, they want Gaza and the West Bank. And I think part of it was Syria. But I don't think any of it was Egypt. I'm not sure. But I also was wondering, why aren't those countries helping Gaza, helping Lebanon, Jordan, Syria? Why aren't they helping? Jordan helps shoot down missiles that are heading to Israel. I wonder how much foreign aid we give to Jordan. How much aid we give to Israel? We know Israel gets a lot to Egypt. I bet it's a lot. Plus, we don't have enough money for FEMA to help the people trying to survive from not one, but two hurricanes. We don't have enough money for the Small Business Association, I guess it's associated, to help rebuild the businesses. That's kind of crazy that we don't have that they don't take some of the billions that we give to the military every year to help us. I don't mind helping other countries, you know, if it's with food and medicine, to help the people in those countries that need help. I don't think Saudi Arabia really needs our money. I don't know if we give them any money, but I know that they're fighting the Yemenis, the Houthis in Yemen. I think the U.S. just attacked Yemen. Did you know that Ireland has accepted Palestine as being a state? That's really pretty cool that they have accepted Palestine as a state. Okay, now we know that the U.S. has got troop boots. They call it boots on the ground. Boots on the ground in Israel, you know, like they didn't have them before. But now they're coming out and just saying, we got boots on the ground in Israel now. Yeah, what's going to happen when those boots on the ground get killed? You know, we got to protect the Americans there. We got to, you know, our national interest is there. We got to protect them. What about just getting out? Just getting out. My brother-in-law, Jeff, up in the Seattle area, he's a Presbyterian minister, and he is a left-wing Presbyterian minister. He sent me a picture of him, and a bunch of other folks protesting at the gate of an ammunition, a military ammunition, I don't know what they call them, base up there. And it was a base that ships weapons to Israel. And Jeff and others were there protesting about them, you know, sending weapons to destroy people. It was very good. It was one of the very first times I ever saw Jeff with his collar, you know. He had, you know, black with that white collar thing on it. And, you know, he does that, you know, when he does it because he's a priest. I mean, he's a pastor. His church was one of the very first church, Presbyterian churches that, I think they married gay people. I think they married gay people, and that's his church. It's a peace church, a nonviolent peace church, and I think that's wonderful. But we don't have a lot of time. Trump wants the military used against Americans who don't support him on Election Day. He suggested such measures should be taken against the enemy from within, and name-check Democrat Adam Schiff for one of them. He wants to use the military against us. I'm talking about me and you and everybody that doesn't support a certain person. He wants to take our military and put them in the streets of America so we can't protest against what's going on. That we can't use our freedom of speech. That's what he wants to do. He wants to stop us, me, and everybody that believes in peace and justice and freedom of speech and medical care and support our sisters and brothers in the gay community. He wants to stop us from doing that. Well, they're not going to stop us from doing what we know is right and standing up for our brothers and sisters. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to be in the streets. We're going to do everything we can to help our brothers and sisters and to keep this country to be able to have our freedom of speech. We need to take money from the military budget and put it back into this country. They don't need billions of dollars and billions of dollars. They're going to get us into a shooting war in the South China Sea because of China. They're going to make a mistake and they're going to start a shooting war. And somewhere in the Pentagon, there's people sitting down, and they've got this all figured out about what they're going to do to get a shooting war going on with China. That's what they're someone in the bowels of that horrid, putrid thing called the Pentagon. There's people sitting down making all these plans of what they would do to attack any country in the world, how they would get troops in there, how they would supply them, you know. And that's what our dollars go into. And they want to shut us up. They want to shut us up for our freedoms. They want to just slap the Constitution in the face to rip out part of it. You know, there's a law. It's called the Posse Comitatus Act. And it was signed in 1898. Limits the power of the federal government and the use of federal military personnel to enforce domestic policies within the United States. Congress passed this act as an amendment to any Army appropriation bill following the end of resurrection. Reconstruction. And end of Reconstruction. And updated in 1956, 1981, and 2021. But there's always a little hitch in there. The states can use their National Guard to come after freedom-loving people like me and you. And they've done it. Just ask our friends of African descent what happens when the National Guard hits the streets. They know what happens. And there's also one federal department that's not covered under it. A federal one. Guess what it is? Homeland Security. And that's because they have a maritime mission. So they're not covered under the Posse Comitatus Act that was re-signed in 2021. So they have all these ways of getting out of things, of getting past all of this. They always think of a way to keep us from talking about what we want to talk about. They always have a way of doing it. But to silence us, silence you, silence your friends, silence the gay community, the trans community. Try to silence all of us from saying what we know is right. It's just craziness. The war to end all wars. A war to end all wars, they said. A lasting peace turned out to be an empty words. War still rages as innocents die. Still more graves being dug and headstones carved. Wasted generations at the hands of government. The people always paying the greatest price. We seem to forget the horrors of war too quickly. Remember the dead and ask why we are still having wars. By Christopher Tye. You know, that's really a good question. Really a good question. Why are we still having these wars? You know, like the song says, I'm not going to be leaving quietly. I'm going to go to all these protests I can go. I'm going to write letters. I'm going to call. I'm going to stand in the streets and I'm going to holler. I'm going to get in faces. I will not be violent. I will not participate in violence because I saw what violence does. in Vietnam. I won't do that. I remember my father was a World War II infantryman. He was in the 34th Cavalry Reconnaissance Troops. And I remember him telling me about the violence that he saw in North Africa and Italy during the war. He talked about how afraid he was, and that fear stopped when he was fighting, that his mind was taken away from that fear and generated all into staying alive during a battle. I remember the look on my father's face when he talked about that, which he didn't talk a lot about the war. But when he did, it was very... And he was young when my father went to World War II. And he would talk about going, since they were reconnaissance, cavalry reconnaissance troops, going into areas that the Nazis had been in and seeing the destruction that they did to the cities and the people in those cities, especially in Italy. He talked about the fear at night and the fear of early mornings. He talked about the fears of running out of ammunition, of running out of food. He talked about talking to other guys in his unit. He talked about the dead in his unit. And he said that violence doesn't solve anything. You know, we're just about out of time, and I want to say, if you want to support our radio station, our wonderful KBOO-FM radio station, that you can mail a contribution to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Or you can go on to our website, kboo.fm, and there's a donation button you can hit that keeps us on the air, keeps us going, keeps us being part of it. I'm going to tell you, we will get in their way. We will get in their way, and we will do good trouble. We will get in their way, and we will do good trouble. We will not go silently away. I know the last year I've been really, you know, talking about the horrors of wars, which they are horrible, but we have to keep that in our minds. We have to be happy. We have to do things that are happy and fun, too. And I have trouble doing that, but I try to do it. And I know each and every one of you out there who have been my friends for so long, 33 years, you've been my friend. And that makes me happy. That makes me really happy. You know, and again, we will not leave quiet. We will get in their way, and we will do good trouble. We'll be back on November 15th at 9 a.m., and there it is.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
Hey, everybody, it's Greg McVicker, creator of Undercurrents. Glad you're listening. This is KBOO 90.7, Portland.
Election season is here, and at KBOO, we want Portlanders to be prepared to face their ballots with confidence.